Erlöst bin ich, darf es wohl rühmen, erlöst durch des heilendes Blut, erlöst durch sein ewiges Erbarmen, wie hab ich's bei Jesus so gut. Erlöst durch des heilendes Blut, erlöst, wie hab ich's bei Jesus so gut. Erlöst bin ich selig in Jesu, ich finde nicht Worte dafür. Wie süß seine himmlische Nähe, wie groß seine Liebe zu mir. Erlöst durch des heilendes Blut. Erlöst, wie hab ich bei Jesus so gut. Stets denk ich an meinen Erlöser mit innigstem, seligstem Drang. Und wie mein Herz voll seiner Liebe geht über mein Mund im Gesang. Erlöst durch des heilendes Blut, erlöst, wie hab ich's bei Jesus so gut. Einst werd ich als König ihn sehen, sein Dienst ist schon hier meine Freud. Er höret mein kindliches Flehen, macht fest mich und siegreich im Streit. Erlöst durch des heilendes Blut. Erlöst, wie hab ich's bei Jesu so gut. Lasst uns aufstehen und noch einmal singen. Erlöst durch des heilendes Blut. Erlöst, wie hab ich's bei Jesus so gut. Erlöst durch des heilendes Blut. Erlöst, wie hab ich's bei Jesus.
Wieder zurück zu der Mitte. Amen.
Amen.
Das haben wir alle von Herzen gesungen.
This we sang all with our hearts. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You may be seated. Our hearts are really touched, because God has done great things
and
let us have part in what He is doing right now. We have heard it in the word of introduction today, and this is our today. Today, the Lord speaks through His Word with us and to us. In Hebrews 4, verse 2, it's written, Hebrews 4, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith comes by preaching, and the preaching from the Word of God. I also would like to welcome all those who are here today for the first time. All the newcomers, feel at home, have part in what God is doing right now. 1968, when we started with a radio program via Radio Luxembourg, the password, the song was called Back to the Bible. And East and West of Europe, it could be heard. It were 10 blessed years in which the divine message was carried. Now, God willing, we are planning a little trip in March at Easter, at the fourth weekend of March. Yeah. And we are planning, God willing, on Good Friday to be in Berlin, on Saturday in Prague, on Sunday in Salzburg, and on Monday in Böblingen, to serve those who are scattered around, to give them the opportunity to have part in it. We are happy that we have these opportunities to transmit the word into all the world. Just so wonderful that God has led it in such a way. And now, all over, it can be heard. Special greetings from Brother Wallström from Denmark. Special greetings from Brother John from Bucharest. Special greetings from Etienne Genton. Special greetings from Brother Graf. Special greetings from Brother Pino from Palermo. Special greetings from Brother Rigobert. Special greetings from South Africa, from Brother Lotika. Special greetings from Cape Town. All the brethren are greeting us, and they are joined with us in the Lord. To you, beloved brothers and sisters, I would like to thank you with all my heart that you make the effort to come to these meetings, to by this support what God has to say to his people in this time. Just imagine, a brother Frank would just sit in a room and would make a recording without that a church would stand behind it. It would be without success. Mankind still wants to know that there where the Lord is present, where he speaks and where he is at work, there the people are gathering to experience him as at that time when he walked this earth. And we have the Holy Scripture as a testimony. Wherever God was at work, the supernatural happened. Always, God has visited his people graciously, and always, all were blessed who received what God was doing right now by faith. In the word of introduction, it's written in Hebrews 3, in verse 12, Hebrews 3, in verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Unbelief is in opposition to belief. It's the opposite of faith, and unbelief leads into the falling away. That's how it's written here. Of unbelief in falling away from the living God. The Holy Scripture speaks of the great falling away, which would be before the return of Jesus Christ. And why? Why is the falling away? Because of unbelief toward God and His Word. Why? Why do we have the restoration? Because we believe the word of the hour. Because we accept it and receive what God promised to us. And with this we confirm that God is true. And with this we confirm that we understood Him in what He is saying unto us. With this we confirm that His word has accomplished in us for what it was sent for. It happened last Sunday in Zurich when Brother Scherer brought us to the airport. I said to myself, or I told him, I had the impression that the sermon didn't come across to the people, so that the people were touched by it. And Brother Scherer, he answered very spontaneously, and he said, Brother Frank, with us, the word reached us with all might, with all power. Sometimes we are preaching the word in weakness, but the word accomplishes in those who receive it by faith for what it was sent for. In the beginning, two scriptures are on my heart from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and then also the last chapter. From Revelation, chapter 1, we would like to read the first three verses in the reverence, reading them in the fear of God. Let us stand up for it. Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. For the time is at hand. Revelation 22. Here we read verse 6, Revelation 22, verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 10 in Revelation 22. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Faithful God, you are still the same today. You are present today to quicken your word and to reveal it unto us. Have thine way with thy church in all peoples, tongues, and nations. Call your church out. Edify her upon the holy ground, upon the ground of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. You are still speaking today. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Beloved Lord and Savior, today I would like to thank you for the opening of the seals, for the insight into the whole counsel of God, which you purposed before the foundation of the world. Your plan is an eternal plan. And you revealed it unto your servants, the prophets. Also in our time, you had a commissioned mouth through which you could speak. And we thank you with all our heart for it. Give us now open ears. Give us an understanding for the scripture. And say unto all of us, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Give it by your grace. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us sing, Thou art worthy.
Du bist würdig, du bist würdig, du bist würdig, o Herr, ihn zu nehmen, Preis und Ehre, Ruhm und Anbetung, du würdig, o Herr, Glory, Glory, Halleluja, Glory, Glory, Halleluja, Glory, Glory, Halleluja, deine Wahrheit schreitet voran.
Ihr mögt euch sitzen.
You may be seated. The Lord God may He be with us. May He have His way with all of us for the glory and praise of His name. What is happening now on the earth, we will not go into detail, especially about around Jerusalem. We will not go into it. But it has to be said once again. When we see Bible prophecy in its fulfillment, then take note, then pay attention. For the time is at hand. Yesterday, I mentioned it. When our Lord said, when you see Jerusalem compassed around with armies, then pay attention. Then flee into the mountains of Judea. Now, we all heard of it. That it is about Jerusalem, about a contract, and the Bible speaks of a covenant which will be made. And there Brother Branham says, very clearly he says, the church will be raptured before this covenant will be made. I write it in the next circular letter. And brothers and sisters, long enough we spoke about it, that the return of the Lord is at hand. But now, it is very, very near. Let us remain sober in every way, in the natural as well as in the spiritual. Let us love one another and let us love the Lord with our first love. just that God can give us an atmosphere in which He feels at home. And every one of us brings, of course, an atmosphere with Him. It doesn't come up. We bring it with. Our attitude is important. Even the thoughts, the expectation with which we are coming into a service. Let us come in expectation, having nothing against one another, reconciled with God, reconciled with one another, in the divine love, connected and united. In the Gospel of Mark, we have the beginnings as they happened in the New Testament. It's shown to us. Here it says, in Mark, chapter 1,
in verse 14
and 15, now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And saying, the time is fulfilled. Not only has come near, he started with the words, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The announcement took place. And the waiting time was long, but then it didn't only come near, then our Lord says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. In the word of introduction, Mark mentioned the two scriptures from the Old Testament, Mark 1. Verse 2 and 3, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. That's how the introduction started into the New Testament. The fulfillment of that, what was written and promised in the Old Testament. And then it has found its fulfillment. In Luke, we have the same way, the introduction. We have it also in Matthew. And we find out that the men of God, at the beginning of the New Covenant, they had the revelation about that what was promised in the Old. Then we have a very special point which we necessarily have to take heed to. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 6, John, chapter 6, we all know, in John, chapter 6, our Lord spoke, He said, I am the bread of life. Verse 48. In verse 44 he said, no man can come to me except the Father who has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Already in verse 40, our Lord says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In verse 53, we have the admonition. Verse 53, here it says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We all know this chapter and that what our Lord said. From verse 60 on, we read, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? And then it goes on and on. And then comes the point where many didn't follow the Lord anymore, but they were offended. They took offense of what he said. They didn't understand it. Brothers and sisters, let me say it here very clearly. If at this place a word of God is being read and is being preached and you don't understand it right away, don't be left behind. Come again. In the next sermon, it can happen that God gives new light, that he gives more light to you, and that he gives revelation by grace. Remain in the word, abide in the teaching until the end, because that's how we have it here with our Lord and his disciples. In verse 67 we read, then said Jesus unto the 12, after many disciples went back and walked no more with him, we read in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And now in comparison to those who went away, in verse 69, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter didn't say, we understood everything what you said, but we know that you are the one who should come, and therefore we receive it because you have said it. This must be our sincere attitude by the help of God. Sometimes the subject of the Godhead, and then there are people who just don't understand it. All right, then leave it. Leave it for the moment. And as we were reading yesterday the scriptures, that Cain is not found in the genealogies, neither in the Old nor in the New Testament. Don't you worry about it. Everything must be revealed by God. The Word is written, but the revelation about the Word must be given to us by God Himself. And that's the key. This is the access to all promises from the Old Testament. They were written, but they had by the Holy Spirit, they had to be revealed. In the same way, it is with that what our Lord said. Yesterday, we were reading the scriptures which spoke about that we, before the foundation of the world, were chosen. That our names before the foundation of the world were written into the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. That Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, was ordained as the Lamb of God to die for us. God didn't purpose the plan in time, but He purposed it in eternity, before the time began. Then we read in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 35, Matthew 13, verse 35, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Speaking it for those who were chosen from before the foundation of the world, who were included into the plan of salvation of God. With those I'm speaking about the secrets, about the Word, about everything as it was purposed before the foundation of the world in the plan of salvation of our God. Brothers and sisters, this makes us happy. From nature, I'm not a happy man. Especially the matter of God, I took very seriously all the days of my life when I started to preach. With 17 and a half years, I started. The Word of God, in all my life, I took it seriously. And especially since the time where a responsibility was given for the work of God, for the people of God. This responsibility was laid upon my shoulders, upon my heart. There's no other way for me. I have no troubles. I have absolutely no troubles. No worry. I have only one worry about the Church of Jesus Christ, so that we together reach the destination, the goal. And that knows not one single one of us who we were counted worthy to hear the word of the hour, that on that day he would be missing. Not one single one. And we are happy that the Lord is still lingering to call out the last one. Also, I wished already that the end would be here, that the completion would be here, that the mighty things would happen. I wished it. How I wished it. And yet, we have to submit before God, and we must say, we must humble ourselves and say, Thy will be done. You have purposed a plan, and we are submitting ourselves into this plan. Of our own, we cannot do anything anyhow. It must happen by God. Let us take the things seriously, what was promised to us. It must be emphasized, time and again it must be emphasized. In the Old Testament it was written what should happen at the beginning of the New Covenant. And it happened. And it is written that at the end, what would happen at the end. And it happened. And it's still happening. Who wants to deny what God said? The promises which He has given are, the promises remain. And the children of promise, they believe the word of promise. And they see the fulfillment of the promise. I think here now on Malachi 4 verse 5, and this should be preached and mentioned in every sermon, because that's what's all about now. What did God promise to us? What did He promise to Israel? What is being fulfilled there, and what is being fulfilled here? Where do we stand spiritually? How far are we advanced in the kingdom of God? And how near is the return of our Lord? If it is written, Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, then God said it. Of course, not a man. Then it's God's word. Who is the man on the earth who wants to annul God's word? It's impossible. That what God said, this happens. He's watching over His word to fulfill it. Of course, we experienced it, we witnessed it, that God has kept His word. And for me, it's time and again a strengthening in the faith that in the New Testament, from the lips of our Redeemer, the confirmation of this promise from the Old Testament, we have it. And that our Lord Himself, He said, I send you the prophet Elijah, who shall restore all things. Who wants to deny Matthew 17 verse 11? Who wants to deny Mark 9 verse 12? Where the Lord Himself, when He walked this earth, when He confirmed the promise from the Old Testament. But only those can believe it who are included into this plan of redemption. Therefore, our Lord at that time, He spoke to the multitudes in parables, and then He took His disciples to Himself, and He spoke to them freely and openly. The same it is now. Everywhere the parables are interpreted. The chapters of Revelation are interpreted. With us, nothing is being interpreted, neither the parables nor the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation. But we received the insight. We received the revelation from God Himself. We don't need to interpret anything anymore. We just go from chapter to chapter and we see the whole connections. And sometimes the thought comes to me that since the going home of Brother Branham, we have been awakened properly, and we were reading the word anew. That's how it was with me, at least. And that we took the sermons of Brother Branham into the Word, not the other way around, but taking them back into the Word. And then we know that everything is being restored. Brothers and sisters, our prayer together, our common prayer must be that firstly, all the ministering brethren are in the same Spirit of God, are in the same teaching, in the same knowledge, in the same revelation, that they are settled there, and that the proclamation worldwide agrees with God and His Word. That no one presents any strange doctrines anymore. Because let us be honest, if our Lord prayed already in John 17, He prayed earnestly that all whom you have given me might be one, whom you have given me, not a religious uniting, but one with God by Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then we are at the point, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Then we have the nature of Jesus Christ. We have the divine nature of which Peter was writing in 1 Peter chapter 2, so that you are having that you part having so that you partake of the divine nature. The Word of God is of divine origin, and whoever receives the Word in himself is a partaker of the divine nature. The Word, of course, is the seed which was laid and planted into us. If we now mentioned already that the promise was given, let me say this here. Let me take this here in our time. On the 11th of June, 1933, at around 14 hours in the afternoon, it was a promise. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so the message which was given to you will forerun the second coming of Christ. A promise. Grounded on the promise in the Old and New Testament that God would send a prophet. It could not be a charismatic person. It could not be an evangelist. They are having all their own programs. They all know how things must be made. They know it. They don't need God. Perhaps his name, yes, so that everything has the impression that here God is present. God always used prophets to reveal his word. And then it's of course written, God does nothing unless he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Of course, not to the scribes, not to the Pharisees, but his servants, the prophets. That's how it is written. That's how God said it. And that's how it is. Why should God change his plan? This is impossible. The Word of God is our absolute. And because it has become our absolute, therefore we don't question it. We, of course, don't question and ask, why did God did it this way or that way? No. We thank Him for it, that He has done it. Yes. All right. From the 11th of June, 33, it was a promise that the message would forerun the second coming of Christ. But we are, of course, living since the going home of Brother Branham. We are living in the fulfillment, in the fulfillment. And the message is being carried into all the world. Brothers and sisters, this doesn't need to be explained. This is a living reality in our time. God's everlasting word is being carried unto the ends of the earth. And we wished that more would get the connection in both things, the connection to transmit and to listen, and the connection to that, what God is doing right now, so that we are having part in it, that we can rejoice together, moving forward, knowing the Lord has purposed a plan. Of course, it is about that we come into full agreement with God and His Word. No own way anymore. No own will anymore. Decide you alone. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. The divine message was brought unto us so that we come back to God, to His Word, to the biblical teaching, to the biblical practice, that we return to it. That our teaching about the Godhead, about the baptism, about every Bible subject, just is biblical. Yesterday, we touched upon it briefly. Everywhere, they speak of evangelization, of conversion they speak. Also in the Church of Rome, they speak of evangelization, of conversion, of back to the Christendom, all over the same vocabulary. And the subjects, as we said, and as it we can see it in reality, the subjects are biblical. But that, what is then being said and what is being done then, is of course not biblical anymore. Only in the Church of Jesus Christ, which was brought back to the Word by the Spirit, to the obedience, that we now at the end are made as the beginning was. Only there God can be at work in a supernatural way. All the others, and we are not judging here, but our Lord says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. What shall all the adoration, all the charismatic meetings, what shall it be? For what? For what? It bypasses God. Only what comes from God leads also back to God and connects us by the Spirit and the Word with God. Let us just take briefly the subject of the baptism. About this, they are now discussing again whether this baptism or this baptism, sprinkling, pouring, or dipping under, and then the end cannot be seen even. Now, just without being puffed up, but with a thankful heart, we say time and again, what is written about it in the Bible. What does the Holy Scripture say about conversion, about the new birth, about the renewing, about baptism? What does the Holy Scripture say? There we just need to go from Scripture to Scripture. We don't need a conference to have some discussions about it. We can just read it. And the respect before the Word of God commands us to believe as the Scripture has said it. And this was the purpose of the message which God has sent unto us. Not that it again is being interpreted by various brothers, but that all are returning to God and His Word, and by this are being brought into agreement with God and the Word. Only then can be fulfilled, and God has set into the church the various ministries into the church. He has set it. A ministry of significance of plan of salvation goes, of course, beyond the ministry of a local church. It's, of course, more. The local church is included, but the ministry of Brother Branham was, of course, not only for the church in Jeffersonville, but for the church of Jesus Christ worldwide. The epistles which Paul has written were not only addressed to the church of Ephesus or at Corinth, they are still addressed to us today, even today. All the epistles to the Romans, all the epistles to the Corinthians, all the Galatians epistles, all the epistles to Timothy, all the epistles are today addressed to us. Because the ministry of the apostles and prophets are going beyond the timely and local events and has a significance for the plan of salvation as long as it takes place, until the Lord Jesus returns to take His own home. Then that what the Lord promised, and on the 11th of June 1933, from the supernatural cloud, what He said there, and this, we have to just respect it. Also here, God didn't need to ask anyone. Also Brother Branham didn't expect it, didn't even know it. As John the Baptist at that time was baptizing our Lord, and as the heavens opened, and as the Spirit came down like a dove, and the voice sounded, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's how also Brother Branham stood in the Ohio River, as John stood in the River Jordan, baptizing. And then suddenly he heard the voice, "Look up, look up." And behold, the supernatural light, visible for all, for more than 4,000 people, visible. And the voice addressed to Brother Branham, as we said it right now, "Shall I bypass this?" Since that day, I go back here. It was also a special day. It was a Wednesday. A Wednesday, the 11th of June, 1958, in Dallas, Texas. I heard Brother Branham Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I heard him. And before the meeting on Wednesday night, I went to him. I spoke with him. And there, it was there in Dallas, Texas, when he told me, Brother Frank, you will return with this message to Germany. What did Brother Frank at that time, 1958, what did Brother Frank know of a promise in Malachi or of the confirmation of it in Matthew or Mark? What did he know of the special ministry and of the fulfillment of the promise from the Old and New Testament? But the words just fell so deeply into my heart. Also, I didn't ask, how shall it be? What does God want to do with me? I knew that's how God wanted it, and that's how it happened. And since the going home of Brother Branham, we have the fulfillment of that, what God promised. We have seen it. And I hope, brothers and sisters, that you understand. I'm not speaking of myself. I'm not a private person to report of myself. Also Paul and all these men of God, as Brother Schmidt read it yesterday from Titus, it was a divine commission, a divine call, of which I didn't knew anything that it would come. But God knew it. God knew everything from the very beginning. By His grace, He planned everything. And may the whole world hear it. If I say here, at this place, before God and before all the world, that nobody would have heard something of the message. If not. 1966 in April, when all the brothers were disappointed after the burial of Brother Branham, they went home disappointed. And that would have been it. At that time, not one single sermon of Brother Branham was printed. It was Brother Frank who called the brothers together, and he told them how it goes on now from that time on. And brothers and sisters, I didn't decide it this way. This is God's eternal foreordination. Before the foundation of the world, God decided it this way, that the divine message is being carried into all the world. The last call, the calling out of the bride church of Jesus Christ. Please, don't expect of people to be understood by people. Please not. Also, that at that time, we read it. Many went back. Many left the Lord. Many understood the Lord no more. Let us remember the multitudes which at the times of Brother Branham's meetings were coming together. Mostly, they came to be healed. And what was left? Only a handful in comparison to that, what at that time thousands, hundreds of thousands of people were coming together to be healed, to be blessed. Firstly, our Lord also had His healing service. People were coming from near and far to be healed. But then it was about the Word. From the healing to the Word. And then the preaching. Before, it was the multiplying of bread and the calming of the storm. Everything was there. But now came the preaching. Whoever does not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and does not drink His blood has no life in him. My blood is drink indeed, and my flesh is food indeed. Misunderstood. They left him. They went back. And that was it. Brothers and sisters, I say it once again. Be it the predestination, be it the election, doesn't matter what kind of subject it is, although you don't understand it right at this moment, just thank God for it. Because he opens our understanding for the scripture. Although we don't understand always what we now presented here. But we were reading it in the book of Revelation. The Lord God has sent his angel to show his servant John what would take place. May God then also speak to Brother Branham, or may God send an angel to Brother Branham on the 7th of May 1946. And I dare to say here, I dare to say that now it was as important as then. At that time, the word was revealed, but now it is being fulfilled. And we would not have received any insight of the book of Revelation if God would not have done the same things in our time as then at the beginning. You all know, be it with the prophet Daniel, God was always at work in a supernatural way, be it according to Luke 1, verse 11, that the angel Gabriel came to Zacharias. Time and again, God was at work in a supernatural way. We have no influence to that, what God is doing. But that what he is doing has great influence on us. And we must have part in it. We must submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We cannot just say, why this man? Then one could ask, why Noah? Why Abraham? Why? We are not asking why. We just say, therefore, that the will of God happens by the grace of God. God knows whom he takes, to what purpose he takes him. And that what God purposed, this he performs. From the sermon of Brother Branham, I just wanted to read something, just briefly. Two or three passages I would like to read today as well. From the same sermon, the rapture. Here it says, note here, take note, the church, the same happened by the Reformation, it came forth, while the persecution went on in the Middle Ages, in the Dark Ages, the wheat corn fell into the ground and it died. It fell into the ground, it had to die. Every spiritual-minded man can see it. If the seed dies, it rots, and then the new life comes forth. Then comes the sentence, is somebody here who plants wheat? And to this, I would like to read from the Gospel of Mark what our Lord said, who only spoke in parables, what he said here in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, from verse 26, Mark 4, from verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. He can add nothing to it. He just sows. Verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Is this not wonderful? Verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. In the past, the ripeness was not here yet. The harvest could not be brought in yet. But now, the wheat is ripening in such a way that all the life which was in the blade, all the life which was along the way and which contributed to the growth, it's now gathering in the ear. And that at the end, in the ear, the same wheat comes forth, the same quality, the same content. In every way, as it was planted, also in the harvest it will be. Our Lord, as the wheat corn, he died. And we are the seed, which sprang up. We are the wheat of which John said in his sermon, he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, but the wheat he will gather into his garner. Now, at the end of the time of grace, we are reaching the consecration. We are reaching the ripeness in the presence of God, the maturity. And therefore, brothers and sisters, we will just now read the word that we have to walk forward in faith, walking forward by faith. Here, Brother Bram says it. The life leaves the shuck and it goes into the wheat. It goes forward. That's how it was in every age. One has to pay attention to nature. God does everything in harmony. That's how he does things. Now we are living in the last church age. And then Brother Branham says, with a mighty voice, which one can hear, of course, in the tapes, the seed at the end must be manifested in the wheat corn. And then he goes into details. I just read. To the people, the revelation is given about it, what he is doing in this time. The word which is ordained for this day and which was proclaimed, it's revealed to the people that the Holy Spirit can be manifested, that he can prove that Jesus Christ lives and is amongst us. It was not only a message, it was the word confirmed by God in a supernatural way. God confirmed the word in such a way as it happened also in the ministry of our Lord at that time. Then Brother Branham lines out about the sign, how the Lord turned his back to the tent in which Sarah was in. And he told her that she laughed in her heart. And then Brother Branham shows again what happened in our time. Are you aware of it? As I was, I am aware of it. I just give you one example. At that time in Karlsruhe, the translator of Brother Branham, at that evening, it was Brother Lauster. Brother Lauster, a man born in America, his father emigrated, and he came back to Germany, and he was working as a preacher. And now came the prayer line. And one person after the other one came. And suddenly, Brother Branham says, I see a connection between you, my translator, and between that man who is now standing in front of me. And then he says, this is your dad. This is your dad. I've seen it. I've heard it. And then Brother Branham says, I see the ocean. I see that you made a trip across the ocean. You are from the USA. You came from to Germany. You are a preacher in the Church of God. And he tells him all the details. And his son is his interpreter. I was there. I witnessed it. I heard everything. I witnessed everything. Not only what is written in John 1, before Philip has called you, I saw you under the fig tree. I was there in Europe. I was in the USA. I have seen the supernatural gift in operation, which no man on earth can imitate. I've seen it in truth. Brother Zink, I also think about when the 11th-year-old child from Switzerland, she became seeing. And Brother Branham just said, you are coming from Switzerland. All the details were told. Brothers and sisters, I have seen the days of the Bible with my own eyes. I have seen the supernatural working of God personally. I witnessed it. As Peter and as John, I can say, what our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard of the word of life, this we declare unto you. Now one more quote. We are living now in the seventh church age. The Bible says that in this age, when the messenger of the seventh church age comes up to sound his message, that all the mysteries, the mysteries about which were argued during the ages, at that time, they will be revealed. We have said it. Everywhere they interpret about every Bible subject, they are speaking about it. Everywhere. To us, God revealed it by the Spirit. And this we are saying with the gratefulness of our heart. Now, the two or three sentences. Remember, the message was promised. After all these mysteries of the churches were so much brought into confusion, there is the need of a true prophet of God to reveal everything. Exactly this he promised. And we are adding here, and this he also fulfilled. This he did. Now, for all who have trouble with gifts, A very important statement now. In the church, there are, of course, the gift of prophecy. But a prophet was predestinated for a certain hour. So the gift of prophecy is one thing. The ministry of a prophet is a totally different thing. And then Brother Branham says, when a prophecy goes forth, at least two or three must judge whether it is right or not before the church can accept it. And then he says, but about a prophet, nobody was set over him, because in him the perfect word of God is in him. The gift of prophecy must be judged, because in the prophet Jeremiah and in the prophet Ezekiel especially, it is written that women, after their own imagination, they prophesied. You can read it up. You can read it. But not the prophet Jeremiah, but all who at that time were alive and who thought to have also a gift or a commission. In every age, the ministry of a prophet remained without any blame. Whether all the prophets were blameless in their lives, this God shall judge. But the word which they brought was God's holy word. I'm of course not interested today what David did or what he didn't do. I'm interested the word which God spoke through him. And in the same way with all the other prophets. But this is a very important statement. Now just this one more sentence. The seven seals were opened. The mysteries were revealed. And these things were shown unto us. This happened. I didn't know it. Here are people sitting who were with me when this happened. What I said in the sermon, sirs, is this the time? You remember all of it. And then on that morning, exactly there where it was predicted, there stood seven angels before me who came down from heaven. And when they went up in that storm, and as they ascended, here Brother Brennan reports exactly, precisely, of what happened at that time. Brothers and sisters, we thank God for the revealed word. We thank God who in our time came down in such a way, who brought heaven to earth, down to earth. In the natural realm, he revealed himself in a supernatural way. I have one request. I repeat, if something is written in the sermons of Brother Branham which you cannot place yet, which you cannot understand yet, leave it. Don't go back. Follow the Lord, because he leads from clarity to clarity, from truth to truth. And as we said, also we, since the going home of Brother Branham, since the message was proclaimed worldwide and was carried unto the ends of the earth, also we went from clarity to clarity. If we open up this book today, what a light, what a clarity. We don't only have the term in the evening time, there shall be light. The slogan, we have the experience. We have the experience that there was light in the evening time. We have the experience of what our Lord said. John 8 verse 12. He who follows me shall not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. He who walks forward with the Lord, without interruption following Him, He will not remain in unclarity, He will not remain in darkness, it will be revealed to Him. Because our Lord says, He who follows me shall not remain in darkness. And already in John, in chapter 1, we read of John, he came to testify of the light. The light shines in a dark place, but the darkness has not comprehended. Did not comprehend. We are really touched, and we want to walk forward in perfect faith. I'm closing with a word from 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and set your hope to the end for the grace offered to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct. Last Sunday in Zurich, we spoke about how men made a vow to consecrate themselves fully to God. Numbers chapter 6. We were reading how our Lord, as a Nazarene, gave His life, and as He was obedient unto the death on the cross. Today, the word goes to us, comes to us. And let us say it very clearly. The Lord had mercy on us. He has opened our hearts and our eyes for the promises which He has given and which He confirmed. He has included us into His eternal plan of salvation. Have it always in your heart. Before the foundation of the world, as there was nothing yet, also we not, and no man on earth, and God purposed His plan, and our names were written into the Lamb's Book of Life. We are God's eternal inheritance. This is unchangeable. This is irreversible. This is an absolute of our God. And all of us, as we were reading, we gird up the loins of our mind, walking forward. And we put our hope alone into the grace. may all who are connected worldwide, may all know that we at this place are not glorifying any man, but we are also not bypassing that what God promised and what He has done, and also not bypassing what He is doing right now. Shall it be said here? Many stopped at that what Brother Branham preached and are interpreting his sermons and his statements unto their own destruction. But there is a church of the living God who does not interpret the word, but who gets the significance of the word revealed by God Himself. And to this church of the firstborn, we may belong by His grace. And therefore, we reject every interpretation, and only the word of God, we leave it as it is written. 1 Peter 1, verse 25. The word of the Lord remains forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Receive it. Accept it. Believe it with all your heart. And God will make everything well in those who believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. With faith, we will experience everything, and we will see everything, and also the completion we will experience. To Him, the Almighty God, be the honor, the praise, now and forever. For that what He did in the past, but also for that what He is doing right now. And I suggest that nobody who refers to the message or to Brother Branham, don't remain in your own program. The hour of God has come, that all have to submit and must be placed into the plan of salvation of God. The time to go our own way is over. The time to present our own programs is over. The hour of God has come. It's not only near, but our Lord said, the time is at hand. It is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. The return of the Lord is at hand. God bless us. May He bless all over the earth. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us stand up. Precious Lord, You ever faithful God, with all my heart, I thank You for Your precious and holy word. We thank You together that You in this time that You visited us graciously, You have revealed Yourself unto us. You revealed Your word. You revealed Your will. You revealed the mysteries. In the biblical teachings, You brought us back to the beginning. Beloved Lord, have Your own way with Your church until we come from believing unto seeing. Touch all who have a request. Be merciful. Give salvation, healing, deliverance, revelation. Give everything, Lord, what we need, and crown us with mercy and with loving kindness. To You, the Almighty God, we say thanks also for this weekend, for Your word, for Your presence, for that what You did. be highly praised and highly blessed now and forever.
Amen.
Let us sing, I love him, I love him.
Ich lieb ihn, das teure Gotteslamm, das mich geliebt und für mich starb.